Now, if you, like me, enjoy a spot of forest bathing in your own backyard, here is a way to elevate that experience. I suggest you may want to do this. Install a bird bath. It's not that hard. And, well, look around you. This hot, dry, destructive summer, that would be a rather welcome thing for little creatures that might be visiting your place. Think about that. Dr. Gráinne Cleary has done. She's a wildlife ecologist, a researcher at the School of Life and Environmental Sciences at Deakin University. She has written a book. It's called Your Backyard Birds. Gráinne, welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
A bird bath, it's a beautiful thing to look at. It's a little enhancement to our garden space, but a really useful thing for visitors.
This is it. They really are. So traditionally, when you think of a bird bath, you think of that pedestal bath that's sitting in the centre of a lawn. And that's your very traditional English-like bird bath we see quite popular.
We can do better?
We can do so much better, especially over here and especially at these times. At the moment, with the fires and the drought and the heat, people are feeling so overwhelmed, like we're giving money, but we just want to do something more. And this might seem like such a simple thing, but water is so vital. It is so important for wildlife. At this time, they're going to be quite stressed looking for water, looking because a lot of their resources will have disappeared. So what you can do is put in a range of bird baths in your garden. And they don't have to be fancy. You don't have to run down to Bunnings and go and buy some. You can use an old pot, an old plant potter that's not being used anymore. Any kind of thing that holds water will be good for the birds. And think about putting them at different levels around your garden. So you want some up higher and kind of in vegetation for the smaller birds. And you might want to put a rock in the centre so the smaller birds, when they're having a bath, they can jump up onto the rock and they can feel very safe.
They can leave their towel on the rock.
They can leave their towel on the rock and go up there and have a bit of a dry before dipping back in. And also we've had echidnas using bird baths. Like, this is a big thing that really surprised me. After birds, echidnas love them. So this is why it's good to put bird baths on the ground. So while, yes, there's a risk of snakes and even cats and dogs, you will get animals using it, such as echidnas. So as I said, put in a range of different bird baths.
I was camping over the Christmas break and it was a very hot day and I'd left a little bit of water in a billy, gone for a walk, came back, it was filled with thousands of bees.
There you go.
Insects, they also want to drink.
Yes, and what you could do is put marbles into kind of a shallow bird bath and that allows them to rest on something because we don't want to drown the poor bees. So you got to think like the animal, think, no, they'll need somewhere to perch while they're having a drink.
Birds can get a bit territorial about their water.
So this is why you need to think about a range of different bird baths because you'll have the lorikeet just dominating one bird bath and not letting the smaller birds get in. So do put out a range of ones. And because water is such an important resource, they do tend to bully other birds off it. So it's really interesting to watch the antics that are actually going on around your bird bath.
So you can help, you know, local wildlife, but also learn a little about their behaviour and practices as
exactly.
well.
Exactly, and they're fascinating to watch, and you'll never be bored. And if the kids are looking for something to do, get them to watch the different bird baths and get them to see what birds are using what bird baths. And Tanya, it's just endless possibilities, and we are so lucky to live in such an amazing country with these birds, so we really need to help them during this time.
What do we say to the cat?
Cats stay in. The birds are needing an owl drink. No, do think about keeping your animals in, your cats in and your dogs in, because we have had reports of birds coming into people's gardens a lot more frequently since the fires, because the birds are looking for some kind of haven. They're looking for somewhere to go that's safe to rest and reevaluate what the hell just happened. You know, birds are also like, what? So do think about making your garden a safe haven for them by keeping your dog in, keeping your cats in and putting out fruit. Fruit's another thing you can do. Think about a necklace, a pearl necklace. You can pearl in bits of grapes on, like, you know, necklace and tie it around a tree so the possums and even the koalas can get at the fruit that has high water content and come out the next day and check and see if anybody eating the fruit.
Are there any don'ts in this? I mean, you're making it sound like you go for it, you put water out, you put food out, everything's going to be fine. Are there any sort of traps for young players here?
So there is, and the big thing is the spread of disease. And this is a real concern. So think clean. Clean your bird bath. Nobody likes a mucky bath. You have visitors coming over. Make sure you clean the bath every night before you put it out the next morning.
So sluice it out, put in fresh water.
Exactly. That's, get a little scrub and brush, scrub it. Okay. Because there's one disease called beak and feather disease, and this can spread through parrots and cockatoos. And it comes when there's one infected bird and it's drinking with other birds, other cockatoos, other parrots, or sharing water, or it's eating food. The disease spreads that way. So even one bird can infect a whole flock. So this is why it's very good to think of hygiene and clean your feeding area as well. All you need is hot water and a bit of a brush. Keep a clean feeding area. Keep a clean bat. Our birds deserve it. They're putting up with a lot right now.
How much do they drink? What does a bird drink in a day?
Water's really important. They can actually get dehydrated very quickly. Mm. And one of the first signs of knowing that your bird is dehydrated is a beak gapes. The beak is open. And that's it kind of trying to release heat from its body. And then on top of that, they can hold their wings apart from their body, hold their wing out called wing fluttering. And the last, when a bird is really heat stressed, it will kind of pant using the back of its throat. It's called gut fluttering. It's like a dog that pants. And that's how you know it, the bird is really in danger. So they need a lot of water, especially in the heat, because they do die of dehydration very quickly.
I mean, it's tremendously, what you say there is very familiar. I think of, you know, we think of our dogs and we know very well to leave water out for them in various sources, make sure that they have that through the hot weather. Other animals, just the same, really.
Yeah. And once you do it, try to keep it up, because the birds will become reliant on it. They will always look for it. And our gardens, as you know, we face this new future after the bushfires and not really sure what's happening. One thing we do know is our gardens are going to become very important. So please think wildlife-y when you're thinking of your back garden, and think for the birds and the wildlife that might need to use your garden.
So when a bird's flying over our place, what are they looking for as they cast their eye
down?
They'd
be looking for water. They'd be looking for safe places. They'd be looking for different types of vegetation they can nest in. And they'd also be watching other birds. That's why when you have one bird come and suddenly there's a load of birds, it's because they watch it and they tell each other, they tell their mates, "Oi, your man down the road is putting out water. Let's go visit him." And then, "Oi, Joe up here is starting his feeding round. Let's go up to him." You know, they visit us all throughout the day.
I'm imagining, yes, it's a great social experiment we're about to embark in here. All right, so we've got different levels, various places around the garden. I mean, use your imagination, I guess.
Yeah, use your imagination and think about the bird that you're seeing in your area and the kind of bird you're trying to attract.
They want shade as well?
They love shade as well, yeah. So think about putting the bird bath in shady areas as well.
Little umbrella, perhaps, if you don't have a tree.
God, wouldn't that be lovely?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, a little margarita for them.
Banana lounge.
A little banana lounge.
Poolside with your birds. What if you do get some sort of, you know, ugly social interactions, you know, a big bullying bird that's just not letting anybody get near? Anything we can do about that, or just let nature take its course?
I think kind of provide more water to make it less competitive. That's the first thing you can do. Because, yeah, birds that are doing really well are like your sulfur-crested cockatoos, your lorikeets. But we also want other birds to be able to use the water. But, you know, life is life and it is competitive. So to lessen the competitiveness, put out a range of water. That's your best option.
And do we need, you mentioned fruit and so forth, but we should be a little cautious about food and wild creatures?
I don't know. We have just messed up so badly this time. We have to reevaluate everything. We need to look at bird feeding. We need to look at providing food in our back gardens, because it might be the only way the wildlife will recover. They might well rely on us, and we can't just stand back and say, "Oh, hopefully the koala population will come back. We'll just wait and see." No, we have to be active. We have to keep our dogs in. We have to keep our cats in. We have to invite the koalas into our garden and just give them a place to rest during this time. Because we don't know what the hell is going to happen. We haven't even had a chance to go in and reevaluate what birds have survived. Because your smaller birds, like your wagtails, they can't fly very far. So they wouldn't have been able to escape the fires. Mm. While your bigger birds, like your lorikeets and your magpies and your sulfurs, would be able to fly a lot quicker.
And we're already seeing strange appearances.
I mean, exactly. In back gardens, a lot more birds are popping up at bird baths that haven't been there before. And again, this is the birds from the bushes moving in, watching the other birds, learning about what's going on, where's the water, and then following them into urban areas.
Well, Grainne, we have, as a country, you've given us a mission.
Yeah, no, seriously, lads. I mean, we are in serious trouble here. Come on. There's power of the people to help the wildlife. Do your best you can in your back garden. Go on, you good thing, yeah.
Grainne Cleary. She's a wildlife ecologist. She's an enthusiast, as you can tell, and she's a researcher at the School of Life and Environmental Sciences, Deakin University. Check out her book, Your Backyard Birds, and get some water out there.
Exactly. New Year's resolution, provide water.
Grainne, thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Blueprint on Radio National.